Have you ever felt so overwhelmed with the stress and pressure of the complicated business details surrounding the planning for a loved one to enter long-term care? Have you ever felt the pressure of being unprepared and faced with the final planning and arrangements for funeral or memorial services of a loved one? Have you ever been so overwhelmed by the details surrounding estate planning and estate settlements and so forth? If so, stay tuned to learn how you can be best prepared and have a plan when we find ourselves faced with the pressures of personal end-of-life challenges.
Welcome to Planning for Tomorrow. We take life's most difficult questions, concerns, and challenges and turn them into manageable nuggets of information so that you can make the best decisions when you are planning for tomorrow. You can contact us at pftradio@gmail.com. You can check us out on Facebook, Planning for Tomorrow Radio, or if you're calling from the local listening area, 304-399-8255, or long distance, 877-420-8255. And good morning, I am Fred Kitchen, along with Gene Dean.
We have a little joke about what Fred is going to call me, but
it's always good.
Fine.
It's always
that's
good.
Fine. It's never bad.
That's right. It's never bad. Good morning, Gene. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you,
good,
Fred.
And good. It's
delighted that you brought a guest with you this morning.
Absolutely. We do have a guest with us this morning, and we're going to be talking to him here in just a few minutes. And I want to take it just a few minutes and kind of I want to make sure that we give out the phone numbers this morning that we can take phone calls.
Sure.
And let people know about that. And then I also want to talk about the website. Would you like to give the phone numbers out?
Ah, yes. For a minute, I thought you wanted me to give out the mortuary's phones, and I thought, what are they?
Yeah. You're supposed to have those memorized.
Well, I think I basically have the studio numbers memorized, and they're 304-399-8255 or 1-877-420-8255. And we would love to hear from you, listeners. Do call if you have questions
Absolutely.
Or if you just want to make a comment. So.
Absolutely. And I also want to go ahead and make mention of our website again, the pftradio.com. A lot of people are using that website. It's PFT Radio for Planning for Tomorrow, but pftradio.com. And we tried to make that simple and short so that you don't have to keystroke a whole lot of information in there.
That assumes that, unlike me, you're going to be good at acronyms.
Acronyms, that's right, that's right. There's a lot of good information on there. There's information that talks about all of our sponsors. There's information that talks about a lot of different subjects that we've talked about, legal information that we've had and lawyers that we've had on the show. All that's on there. Our podcasts are available on there. And then a lot of documents that we talk about, we upload and have on the site where you can download them in PDF format, print them out in your home, and have those. So there's just a lot of good information there.
Yeah, and it's a very attractive website. I don't know who did that. Maybe you did it yourself, but it's attractive.
Thank you very much. I think it's a nice site.
Absolutely.
So anyway, without further ado, I think we need to talk about our guest that we have with us today. We have Eric Weingart in the studio with us. Eric, good morning. Good to have you with us.
Good morning. It's nice to be here.
Eric is manager at Oaklawn Cemetery in Huntington. Now, I just want to give a brief overview here. Oaklawn is one of our sponsors of PFT, of Planning for Tomorrow Radio.
Great. Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, on the show, we try to talk about a variety of information. We talk about nursing homes. We talk about the estate planning, wills. We talk about everything, funeral planning. And, you know, part of all that planning process, there's a lot of times a cemetery is involved. So I felt like it would be a good opportunity for us to be able to have Eric in the studio, and we could talk a little bit about the history of their business and where it's located and some interesting points. And we have some other information we want to talk about also. But just give our listeners a lot of information about cemeteries today.
Absolutely. One of which may surprise you. But
that's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
So, Eric, it is good to have you today and appreciate you being along with us. Well, the information that Jean brought in something here that we thought was interesting that she showed Eric a minute ago. Maybe we can start with that.
You're talking about the famous person,
the famous well-known person.
There. Actually, Eric, I think, was going to mention that anyway, but there is someone buried in Oaklawn Cemetery that was, I believe you told me, a Medal of Honor winner.
Yes, he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor in 1861.
Wow. Oh, way back.
Yeah, he was.
What was his name?
His name was
James Frank Adams.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was in the Civil War, and he was given the Congressional Medal of Honor for capturing the state flag of the 14th Virginia Cavalry.
Uh-huh. Wow. And actually, he lived a long life. He was born in 1844, lived until 1922.
Wow. Yeah.
So, which just goes to show that Oaklawn has been there for a long time.
It has. And, you know, there are other people in our cemetery that have been in many of different wars, and mm-hmm. we honor them, and we put flags out on their gravesites during the Memorial Day.
Oh, do you? Oh, that's really
good. Oaklawn, talking about the length of his death and how long Oaklawn's been there. How long has Oaklawn been in business?
Well, in 1915.
Mm-hmm.
It was incorporated, and the Dietz family took it over in 1932. So we've had three generations within the Dietz family now.
Wow, three generations of family business, which,
right.
You know, I definitely agree with the family business concept.
Absolutely. And maybe there are listeners, Red and Eric, that perhaps are, like me, not as well versed in where everything is located, perhaps. And tell us exactly where Oaklawn is located.
Well, we're at 6155. East P. Ridge Road. So if you know where East P. Ridge Road is off of Route 60, mm-hmm. it's about equidistant between the two turnoffs for onto East P. Ridge Road.
Right. Yeah.
It's sometimes hard to see. We have bushes there, but you can actually, if you pay attention as you're driving by, you'll be able to see it off the side of the road. It's just down the road from Henson Mortuary and a couple other
mm-hmm.
businesses
mm-hmm.
right there, and DJ's Flowers.
So it's sort of halfway between the Huntington exit of 60 and Barbersville, then,
yeah.
Really.
It's kind of set back, quaint little country atmosphere that we try to offer people, so they have a place in the city that doesn't look like the city, and they can feel like they're mm-hmm. they're in a country-like setting.
Okay. Well, it may be, you may describe it as quaint and little, but it's really quite large, isn't it?
It is. We have over 11,000 spaces, and it's growing mm-hmm. right now. So,
yeah.
You know, people always ask me, are there spaces available? Of course there is,
mm-hmm.
and we're
mm-hmm.
we're clearing area right now, taking down some buildings and some brush to make more spaces available. So
right.
there's
mm-hmm.
it is quite large, not as large as some of the other ones, but mm-hmm. it's also what makes it nice.
Do you know how many acres the cemetery is, by chance?
I mean, it's about 14 acres.
14 acres. That's a good size piece of property there.
It is.
And I think it is probably one of the best kept secrets in the area, because it is kind of set back. But once you go into the cemetery, it is very interesting. A lot of history in there, and you know it's interesting. Every now and then, you know, we'll have an opportunity. We'll have to go into a cemetery because of a burial, and we'll see a lot of genealogy people in the cemetery doing their work.
Yeah, and a lot of people,
all the cemeteries.
I think they do. I'm not sure what you call it, where people take a parchment or something,
rubbing of the stone,
mm-hmm. to get the impression there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
some interesting stuff, really is.
Yeah, and you've got some, obviously, you go way back there. So.
Yeah, we actually get quite a few people calling us or visiting us looking for special people to fill up their genealogy charts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we help them. I mean, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that would be interesting. And Fred, maybe you also experience this, people who are checking their genealogic records.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. There is we'll try to have that from the break. For people, but there is a local person in the area here. He does Cabell County. I know he does all of Cabell County,
mm-hmm.
But he has a website for people that does genealogy research, and he'll have some documents. Matter of fact, we have that right here. It's called Doors to the Past, and it's all about Cabell County. And what we'll do, we'll have this up on the website, but I'll go ahead and give this because it's a little lengthy, but it's Roots Web, ROOTS. web.com/WVCCCFHR. I'll place this up on, I'll have this put up on PFTradio.com probably this evening, so that if anybody wants to access it. But there's going to be all kinds of information of deaths, people that are in Oaklawn Cemetery and other cemeteries in Cabell County. He does all the cemeteries. And he also has a lot of information from funeral homes. He'll take obituary information that's public information that goes to the newspaper,
sure. mm-hmm.
and he'll have that on there also, so you can go back and look at some really old and unique websites.
Absolutely.
For information.
And I talked to the couple of the gentlemen that started this up, and like you said, they've been to numerous cemeteries in the area, and they actually took pictures of every single marker and monument at our cemetery, and I assume they've done that at the others. So if you contact him, that he'll actually send you a picture of the marker or monument that you're looking for.
Wow.
And he told
that's
me that if you didn't catch the website, which it is kind of lengthy, he said just if you Google Doors to the Past, Huntington, West Virginia, it'll pop right up.
Okay.
And this is a local person who does this service?
Yes, a local person and another gentleman. I believe they retired from their jobs and they decided to go ahead and do this for the community.
What a great idea.
Yeah. They spend a lot of time doing this, You know, Gene, let's take just a quick break and have a word from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back with Eric Weingart and Oaklawn Cemetery. And good morning, and we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. And we have Eric Weingart in the studio with us today from Oaklawn Cemetery, Gene. And it's good to have him in the studio, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. There is something I'd like to mention. Mm-hmm. And one person that we've had on the air with us before was Bruce Stout. You remember he talked with us about estate planning, and it was such a shock to see that died just a couple of weeks ago, I guess. So,
quite shocking.
Just wanted to mention his name because he was...
He actually helped us with our business, too, our cemetery
really?
Business and our tree farms. Yeah.
Oh, that's
he's a good gentleman.
Yes,
and, guys, if you would want to go back and listen, I mean, he really was a brilliant estate planner.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to go back and listen to that, that show is podcast on our website.
Oh, is it?
And
okay.
It's got Bruce on the show. I went back and actually listened to it when I'd learned
his
passing. Yeah. And so, anyway, yeah, it is. So if you want to go back and listen to that, it is podcast on our, and it'll say with guest attorney Bruce Stout with Huddleston Bowl. So.
Okay, and it's on
PFTradio.com. That's right. That's right. So it's right there where you can gather that on all of our podcasts.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that was good, Gene. Mm.
Okay. All right. Now, Eric.
You know, when we left for break, we were talking a little bit about the Doors to the Past website and how that they took a lot of pictures of Oaklawn Cemetery and other cemeteries that they're trying to gather information for genealogy purposes so that it's available for anyone in the area. It's really good information. Even we, as funeral providers, will go back and use this information sometimes. If someone has passed away, that it's amazing. Sometimes family members either don't know or can't remember or can't lay their hands on certain documents of family members from the past.
Yeah.
And we can go back and gather this information along with other vital information that we can put our hands on to help these families gather this information.
Yeah, I think that's very important.
So it's very important. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned something about him taking pictures of the grave markers. I think it'd be good for us to talk a little bit about the differences between the headstones and footstones and things like that, because I think there's some misconceptions there a lot of times. And just, you know, just to be frank, I mean, a lot of families just don't know, and that's what we run into with the funeral home. You know, they might experience 1 to 3 deaths in their whole lifetime that they will actually be faced with and involved with personally themselves. And so they just don't know a lot of information. So I think it's good to kind of just share this information with people and talk about that.
Because, for example, and Eric, you brought this wonderful glossary of terms here. When I first heard the word columbarium, I had no idea what it was.
Right. Well, you know, and we'll talk here just a little bit about the cemetery. A cemetery is, you know, we're looking at this glossary of terms here. A cemetery, a burial ground containing the remains of non-Native Americans, can be Native Americans. The term is derived from the Greek, literally as a sleeping place or a dormitory. That's pretty interesting information, Gene.
Well, it certainly is, and I'm still looking at my columbarium.
Yeah.
Because, as I understand it now, it actually is a wall that holds the urns if you're cremated, for the remains of a cremated individual.
Right.
But apparently it was originally, I think this is nice, it was originally a dovecote.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the name of columbarium, with all these small niches in the wall for urns,
absolutely
decided to call it a columbarium. But isn't that nice, a dovecote?
Mm-hmm. A dovecote. I think that's pretty neat, really.
Oh, really?
It is. And like I said, these are terms that a lot of people aren't involved with on a daily basis. Another term would be a crypt, you know, for someone that's going to be entombed in a mausoleum. It's a concrete enclosure for interment. Mausoleum crypts generally above ground and in buildings. Crypts in garden mausoleums are also usually above ground, but are open to the outside rather than being enclosed in a building. And so you have mausoleum crypts are typically going to be an interior type crypt, and a garden crypt or a lawn crypt. A garden crypt is going to be an exterior access to that crypt, and then a lawn crypt is going to be below ground. And I think this will be good terms that will also put these on the website for people that want to download these and gather information that are in the process of trying to understand which direction they are going with, whether they're choosing burial or cremation, and they want to have a better understanding of what a columbarium is.
Exactly. You know? Now we all know, don't we?
That's right.
But even if you go with an everyday term like cemetery, there's so much listed here, and I'm glad you're going to put it on your website, because there's about seven or eight different definitions built into the word cemetery.
There is. Uh-huh. I think it'll be good information for people to have.
Absolutely, yeah. Do you have that in front of you, Eric, all the different...
I'm sharing one here with Fred.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people ask, are we a cemetery or are we a memorial park? And it's listed as both, actually. It's actually a cemetery, but we maintain a couple areas where we put garden flowers, and there was a park at one time in the back that people could walk around, so... We go by both terms, and it can be confusing.
So you mean there's a difference between a cemetery and a memorial park?
A lot of times in some memorial parks, you'll see if it's just an only a memorial park, if it's a Gene Dean Memorial Park, we'll say.
Thank you.
See, we'll name a cemetery after you.
Oh, come on.
I'm trying. We'll have Dove Coves.
Okay.
But anyway, the memorial park typically is going to be a park where the monuments are usually level with the ground. They're not going to be above ground, okay? And then the cemetery is typically going to have the above ground markers and tombstones that we're familiar with. Now, I guess you can help me out here a little bit, Eric. With Oaklawn Cemetery being a cemetery and memorial park, they offer both. There is some cemeteries that will not allow you, in certain sections of cemetery, you're not allowed to have a marker that rises above the ground.
Okay.
If you'll notice, you'll go in some cemeteries and you'll see a whole flat section where there's no markers above ground. Mm-hmm. Then you'll see another section somewhere in the cemetery that might have grave markers that are a foot or 2 foot high or something like that in some sections.
And if you go into some of the really, really old cemeteries, I mean, maybe if you're traveling or something, and you see these enormous edifices.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's where the cemetery and memorial park probably comes together, wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I agree. And we do have sections where there's minimal upright monuments, but we offer monuments and markers for all our sections now.
So the whole cemetery, you depending on, you know, if a family would come in and they would buy, so I guess what you're saying is they don't have sections that, well, you can, if you're buried in this section, you aren't entitled to this type of a marker. They can put what they want on that.
Well, more or less, put what you want. It kind of depends on how many spaces the family owns.
Right.
But at one point they decided they wanted to offer upright monuments to everybody. Mm-hmm. They thought that was the right thing to do. So depending on the size of their family lot, then they can possibly have a monument. They just need to talk to me and I can give them all their options. If people only own one space, generally they just get a marker that's flat, like what you're talking about.
Right.
But if they own two back to back or something like that, their options expand from there.
Yeah. I would say probably the history behind, I'm guessing here, but you can help me out, enlighten me, Eric, but the history probably behind of cemeteries saying, you know, a lot of cemeteries have gone from the point, especially in rural cemeteries, you can do anything you want to, like what they're offering at Oaklawn.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of our city cemeteries have got to the point where they said, we just are going to offer flat. And I would think that's probably from a mowing and a maintenance standpoint.
Maintenance, that's right.
You know,
that's right.
Because of the man hours that's involved in having to do that.
Eric, I'm wondering, do you ever get unusual requests for some types of markers or monuments, or are they pretty much normal, ordinary?
They're fairly standard, but you know, some people want to put enormous monuments on their space, and they can. They just have to talk to us in regards to what size. But if you walk through there, you're going to see some that are so big you don't even know how they got them there.
Really?
We do have one monument that looks like a tree. It looks like a tree. It's about 10 feet tall, and it's gray, though,
and it
has, like, openings for branches, and somebody at one point just wanted to have a fancy monument like that.
Well, that sounds delightful. I've never seen anything like that.
It's very interesting. I mean, there's a lot of interesting type of markers available. I want to talk a little bit about, because I think this is kind of confusing for people. Okay, I'm going to buy a headstone or a gravestone. A headstone, I guess what I'm looking here at the glossary terms, it's a memorial stone set at the head of the grave, where a headstone, it kind of makes sense, you know. But then a footstone would be marking the foot. Now, there's a lot of families that might have a headstone that does not have a footstone, and that's common, I guess, right?
It is common. All these terms get mixed up with each person that walks in the door.
Right.
Because you can have a footstone or a headstone that is flat.
Right.
So then they don't know why I'm putting a flat marker on one end of the grave and an upright one on the other. At our cemetery, we call headstones the monuments,
okay.
The ones that are above ground.
Okay.
And basically, the footstone is going to be a flat marker.
Right.
And
do you see, now this is from my experience as being a funeral director, a lot of times when a footstone is going down, a lot of times if there's a headstone already there, a lot of times when a footstone goes down anymore, in my experience, is that that's typically a veteran a lot of times. But is that the case, or is there still a lot of people that are wanting footstones?
Oh, almost everybody wants a footstone.
Okay.
I actually have more non-veteran footstones.
Really? Okay.
Than veteran. We get the veteran markers in from the VA.
Right.
Because the families can get those for free from them.
Right.
And then they just get with me and we decide where we can put it for them.
Okay.
Well, now that's very interesting because I did not know that the VA would do that for veterans.
Absolutely. They'll, depending on the cemetery's requirements,
mm-hmm.
you can get flat and upright headstones, footstones.
The funeral home usually fills out, always fill out all that paperwork for the family.
Mm-hmm.
What they'll do, and we'll have to have a whole other show and have a veteran show.
Veterans,
we'll definitely
right.
do that.
Yeah.
But talking about that is the funeral director will fill out all that paperwork. They'll have a DD-214, which is the honorable discharge from whatever branch of service they were discharged from.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll fill that paperwork out. We'll send that in for them. We'll work with the family on choosing the type of marker. We'll work with the family and work with the cemetery. We'll say, Eric, you know, what can we do in your cemetery?
Right.
And then
right.
we'll help them order that, and it's sent to the cemetery and set there.
Yeah.
And that's free from
Fred,
the
Fred, we're going to have to take a break.
We have to.
I'm afraid we have to. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Donald Trump being in
Let's
the cemetery business.
Let's talk about
business.
That. That's going to be interesting. Even Donald Trump wants a piece of the cemetery business, Eric.
All right. Welcome.
All right.
All right. We're talking with Fred Kitchen and Eric Weingart and Gene Dean. We'll be right back.
And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. I'm Fred Kitchen along with Gene Dean and Eric Weingart with the Oaklawn Cemetery.
And you know, we were talking, Fred, about how pleasant Oaklawn Cemetery is.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to New Orleans a couple of times, and on one of those trips I visited their famous cemeteries down there.
Uh-huh.
Oh, they gave me the creeps. And Oaklawn is not like that.
No, it's definitely a quaint.
Yeah.
I guess the best way to explain it is it does have a country setting to it,
mm-hmm.
But yet it's got a city feel also. I mean, it's really interesting. There's a lot of trees in the cemetery, Eric.
There are, and that's one of the things we really like. Jim Dietz, that was a forester, he just passed away a few years ago. He loved trees,
mm-hmm.
and that's what's made our cemetery really nice, because you go to a lot of cemeteries, you don't have the trees, you don't have the lushness.
Right.
Well, that's right. And you actually mentioned, Eric, that there is a monument there, a memorial, that is actually carved out of stone in the shape of a tree.
Yes, it is.
And you said, I think it's 10 feet high?
About, yeah.
About, my
wow,
goodness.
That's amazing, really. That'd be worth driving through and seeing.
Absolutely.
You know, before we took a break, we were talking about the differences of footstones and headstones, and we kind of talked a little bit about that, and then we started talking about the veterans thing, and I think that would be an appropriate place for us to kind of head into is, from what I can tell here and what in talking to you, that Oaklawn Cemetery is a... I guess they favor veterans, I guess you'd say, because there's a strong veteran history there. And let's talk a little bit about that as far as the Dietz family and your family and the management and ownership of the cemetery right now.
Yeah, no problem. We are definitely veteran friendly because not just because what everybody has done in the, you know, for their service, but Mr. Dietz, Mr. Grandfather Dietz, we call him, Ernest Dietz, he was an Army artillery officer in World War I.
Okay.
That was two generations prior to me. Then we also had Jim Dietz that just passed away. He was a private in the Korean War.
Mm-hmm.
And then my wife, Jennifer Dietz Weingart, she helps with the cemetery operations as well. She was in Desert Shield and Storm in the Army.
Wow.
And I was a naval officer with the Navy. I just finished my 20 years, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
That's
so there's definitely
terrific
some,
record.
It really is. I mean, a strong family there, strong family history there of support of our veterans. And so I would be willing to say that the veterans that come into the cemetery have a special place in your heart.
Oh, definitely. We love it when we see a military funeral and they can get kind of noisy with their gunshots, but it's just a nice thing to see.
Yeah, it is.
It certainly would be.
Very dignified.
Absolutely.
Very dignified.
Absolutely.
I think that's a neat thing. And, you know, like I said a minute ago, we've got a lot of great cemeteries in our area. We were talking about that off the air. However, I'm pro family business.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
I mean, that's what Huntington, that's what this whole area was founded on.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see a business that is family owned and operated like our funeral home, there's just a special place there that you want to see them make it. You want to see them be supported. And I think those are the kind of businesses that we need to continue to support.
Exactly.
In our area.
Especially when, as Eric was just saying, his family has been in the business mm-hmm. there for, what, three generations
now? About 80 years now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. wonderful.
80 years, yeah, that's amazing. That's yep. amazing. Because you're not seeing that anymore like you used to, it seems like.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Not as much.
Could we take a minute to go to the bazaar?
Let's talk about the bazaar. Well, I mean, of course, I highly respect Donald Trump, too, though.
Oh, you do?
Well, I do.
I don't.
I know. Oh, well. I like his ties.
I don't like his hairdo.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the cemetery investment that he's looking at here.
Well, I read this just a week ago, and it says that Donald Trump announced last week that he's considering building a 1.5-acre cemetery next to his high-end golf course in Bedminster. I suppose that's somewhere in New Jersey. And where members pay a lifetime fee of as much as $300,000, that's at the golf course. But if they want to stay beyond that, they would be willing to pay a membership fee that includes burial. You can just move from the golf course to
over to the cemetery.
to the cemetery. But he really wants to get into the pricey business, and you have to be put on his wait list, I guess, until he develops this. But some of the costs for, in this case, he's talking about pond front property, mm-hmm. cost upward of $500,000.
Oh, wow. I thought we was talking real money.
That's top 1% money.
Yes, it is. That is definitely top 1% money.
But it's a really interesting article that it was in the Herald Dispatch, listeners, on Saturday, February the 4th, just a week ago, last Saturday, actually. So if you want to read more about these wealthy clients and what Donald Trump is planning to do there, as I say, to me, it's bizarre. Okay, we have a caller.
We have a caller on the phone, Rob.
Good morning, yeah. Rob.
Good morning, Gene. How are you? I'd like to ask the gentleman about the mausoleum.
Okay.
The cost, the payment plan, and the life expectancy of those structures.
Well, and I'll kind of step in there. This is Fred, and I'll step in there for Eric. Their cemetery at Oaklawn Cemetery, we talked about that a minute ago, they do not offer mausoleum crypts on their property that we're talking about.
Oh, they don't.
They don't. Now, there is other cemeteries in the area that does offer mausoleum crypts, and as far as pricing, I think you would have to probably talk to each individual cemetery. I can tell you this, Rob. Each individual cemetery is going to price that differently, mm-hmm. okay?
Give them an idea, though. I mean, what are we talking
well,
about?
Well, I mean, it could. I mean, I would be totally guessing here because I don't sell cemetery crypts, but I've seen them $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000.
Whoa!
Yeah, and then you have an opening and closing on those also. Mm-hmm. So there is some additional expense involved initially there. I think one of the things that the cemetery will probably tell you is, you know, you don't have to buy a burial vault when you're using a mausoleum crypt, which is true. There is substantial expense up front when purchasing that. And I think a lot of the cemeteries do have payment plans on those also that you can pay in advance.
Rob, let me ask you, I'm thinking when we say the word mausoleum, I'm thinking, for example, on whatever cemetery it is, maybe Woodmere, that you can see this mm-hmm. building from Avondale Road. Is that what you were referring to when you said mausoleum?
Yes, like Route 60 with the old Stone Lodge, Preston House.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Ridgeline.
Let me ask you another question. Huh? Are you allowed to be buried with your pet if your pet is deceased before you are, and you like cremate it and put it on like a little thing? Or do you allow that?
Yeah, that's allowed. That is possible. Yes, it is.
Gotcha.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, that's one of the things that we were going to be talking mm-hmm. about, was whether or not there's an area for pets to
right.
be buried.
You know, Rob, that's one of the things that that is definitely, it seems to me, and maybe you're a pet owner, I guess, right?
Yes.
And I am too, that we're seeing that there is a huge, across the United States, there's an emphasis being placed on our pets. And, you know, when I grew up as a kid, you know, we would bury our pet in our backyard, even if I lived in the city, you know, in a shoebox or whatever. You know, I become a funeral director at the age of 8, I think, you know, for my pets. But you know, we're seeing now that people either want to be buried with their pets, they want to cremate their pets and keep them with them, you know, because these right. these have become companions to us, you know.
They sure have. They sure
in a lot of instances, they seem to be more, gosh, I don't want to use the term valuable, but more of a family member than some of our family members, right?
Right, exactly. Can I ask you one more question?
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, your most expensive casket, what are they, copper? Probably the best.
Well, yeah, a lot of times when you get into most expensive, it's going to be your copper and bronze. It's going to go up to bronze.
What's the life expectancy of those in the ground?
You know, manufacturers, some of those casket manufacturers years ago put warranties on those, and the casket manufacturer would say, we'll warranty this product for 75 years or 100 years or something like that. You know, and how do we know, really, once it's buried into a vault and in the ground? But that was a manufacturer's warranty. Now, I can tell you that a lot of those manufacturers, well, most all those manufacturers, have changed those warranties in years past to be, I don't know, 25 and 50 years. And I think it's just from the standpoint of, you know, there was never any issues with a 75-year warranty other than giving you, the consumer that's purchased that, peace of mind.
Who probably won't be alive 75 years from when you purchased it,
right,
anyway.
Right,
so,
right.
But one thing that I wanted to mention, and Rob, maybe if you were listening to the last edition of this program that we did with Fred a couple of weeks ago, we had Steve Sluss mm-hmm. here, an attorney, and he was talking about green burials.
Mm-hmm.
So
have you heard of that, Rob?
What is it again?
It's called green burials. It's a very natural burial process,
mm-hmm.
and that was something that Steve had brought up that he has interest in. And, you know, we'll be definitely talking about that in the future also. There's a lot of changes taking place in funeral service, a lot of changes. I mean, for instance, you know, the cremation rate. You know, years ago, cremation in West Virginia was very small, a very low rate. And, you know, in West Virginia, we're 20-25% now as a cremation rate.
At least, I would say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten very large. And then it's going to depend on community, because there's some communities that it's lower end than others. But that's a major change, going from ground burial to entombment, to, you know, even, you know, questions like, you know, can I be buried with my pet?
Yeah.
People never ask that a lot of times.
I want to know what kind of pet Rob has. What do you have? Is it a dog?
Yeah, we had a Sheltie.
Mm-hmm.
And
uh-huh.
We had her, she passed away 2 years ago, and we had her cremated and put in a little thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know that pet cemetery is in Winfield, is off on.
What are you talking about?
I can't think of the name, but we actually have a pet buried there too. But we have her, and we have her in our house. Now we have a little Yorkie, but she's only 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
Partial to Yorkies.
I don't even want to think about something like that.
No, you don't.
So, did we answer all your questions, Rob?
No, thank you. Everything you answered, basically everything.
Okay.
But thanks, Gene. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Rob.
We appreciate your call. Bye-bye.
It's always good to have people call in with questions,
absolutely.
You know. And that's what we want to definitely make sure that people understand that they can do with this show.
Sure.
Is we may not have all the answers. More than likely, I'm not going to have all the answers. But we'll definitely try to get those answers for them. I think right now would be a good time to take a commercial break.
Absolutely. When we come back, let's talk more about this pet issue.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen and Gene Dean, and we have Eric Weingart with Oakland Cemetery here with us. And while I'm mentioning Oakland Cemetery, I want to take just a quick minute, Gene, and say thank you to our sponsors who make this show possible. I want to say thank you to Oakland Cemetery, Eric, for you guys supporting the show. We really appreciate that. And then I also want to say thank you to Designs by DJ and Kentucky Organ Donors Associates. That's a corporate sponsor that we picked up this past year, which we really appreciate them being involved with the show. And then we also appreciate Henson Mortuary.
Well, since you're the owner, you should.
That's right. So, you know, when we took a break, we had a caller call in and was talking, and it kind of led to a pet issue.
Right, or not a pet could be buried with its owner.
Right, and, you know, like Eric was talking about a minute ago, we were talking off the air, pets can be buried with the family members. It's perfectly legal, you know, as long as, you know, they're deceased, pre-deceased.
Well.
And I tell you, you really have to be...
You have to say that,
you
Fred.
Have to be specific anymore. But anyway, that can be done, and a lot of cemeteries, you know, are offering sections for pets and stuff like that. Is that something that Oakland has thought about or does? Or
we've actually gotten a number of people asking about, you know, can they bury their pets in our cemetery, and that's why I looked into the issue. And it's going to fluctuate from cemetery to cemetery.
Sure.
But we have actually a section that we've decided to to make just for pets if somebody wants to bury their pet there.
Okay.
We don't have any burials of pets there yet, but we would do that if somebody came to us and wanted to do that.
But I would think that you'd want to have some kind of commitment that the owner of the pet would also be using your cemetery for
that would be
themselves.
Nice. Not really required, but that would be nice.
Oh. Yeah. Well, you would think if they're going to bury their pet there, that might be something that they would want to be in the cemetery.
Yeah, they want to be close to them.
But now, I'm assuming here that the pet section is away from the human section in the cemetery.
Yeah, that's what we were discussing. It's still up in the air, but, you know, not everybody wants to have the pet section right in the middle next to their loved ones.
Right.
But some people do. So
right.
It kind of depends on the person. If they have pets and they want something, they could talk to us and we'll work it out. Yeah.
I don't think any other cemetery right here in the immediate area has done it. I mean, I know there's an actual pet cemetery in Ohio, across
in Ohio,
the river.
Yeah.
But I'm not aware of what other cemeteries
do. I'm not either.
Do.
At the, off the top of my head, I'm not.
Yeah.
I do know of some cemeteries when I was traveling years ago. I do know there are some cemeteries that do have done what Eric's talking about, have sectioned off sections in the cemetery for pets.
Yeah.
And it's away from everything else,
Yeah.
So it has its own designated section. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know that some people do this with their loved ones where you have a burial, somebody that's already passed, and then the spouse passes away and they cremate the person and then they get buried on top of the casket or the vault on that space. And that probably would be something that somebody may want to do with their pet if that's allowed.
Oh,
I think in some cemeteries they call that a second rite of interment a lot of times.
So
where you can bury an urn on a grave space where, you know, maybe someone else is already buried.
Yeah. Fred, has anyone ever come to you and asked you about the burial of a pet or even the cremation of a pet?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you, from time to time, I'm going to say last year we had quite a few families that actually called us and wanted us to cremate either a pet, a cat or a dog or some type of an animal. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, like we was talking to Rob on the phone there, I mean, this is very, I'm a pet owner myself, and this is very, very personal to pet owners.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, these pets typically don't talk back to us, you know.
And they just bite you.
And that's right, that's right. But, it's something that does, it is seem like it's becoming more frequent.
Right, right. And I mean, even in my own family, there are pets, not my pets, but my children's pets, and they are as important to them as if as if it were another child.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, something that... also, I want to mention here and talk about Oak Lawn Cemetery is we talked about the setting of the cemetery, where it's kind of set at. We talked about some of the grave markers and things like that. We talked about history. Is there anything else that you can kind of think of that we really ought to kind of touch on and tell a little bit of Oak Lawn story there a little better and things that it benefits the families?
Well, you know, we talked about it being family owned, and I mean every cemetery is going to have nice people at you.
Absolutely,
but. Being family-owned, the only people you're going to be talking to when you come to our cemetery is one of the family, because there's only three or four people involved, and that gives you the peace of mind that we care for your needs, the future, what we can do for your family and the grounds. It's not just somebody that's working and doesn't care. And that's one of the things that we want to offer people, and you know, we'll work with people with their pricing needs and location. And if they just take the time to talk to us, they're going to know that they're going to get whatever they like from us, and we'll work it out with them.
Right.
Actually, you gave me, Eric, some really interesting information about Oak Lawn Cemetery. Things such as the fact that there are already 6,200 people buried in the cemetery, but you've got 11,000 spaces that are not used yet, and you're getting bigger all the time. And then, of course,
yes,
we did refer to the fact that the oldest burial was in 1822, and then we talked, too, about the Medal of Honor winner.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was right, wasn't
yep.
it? Yeah. And but there's a whole lot of things that I think you've stressed, particularly I want to mention how much you stress veterans and veterans' needs and their families' needs.
I
think that's
that
really,
important
really important. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's important to veterans. You know, the veterans that we've served, they take their service of what they've done for this country extremely serious.
Oh, absolutely.
And to have someone that also understands and takes that very serious on from the final burial there is very important.
And you mentioned Ernest Edgar Dietz, your grandfather. Oh, your wife's grandfather.
My wife's grandfather.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. But the fact that he was an Army artillery officer during World War One.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is. And then you mentioned too, and I think listeners enjoy hearing this again, that your wife was actually in the military. Is that right?
She was. She did a few years in the Army.
Yeah. And you were a naval?
I'm a naval officer.
Yeah.
Did 11 years active and then 9 years of reserve duty.
Well, my goodness. Yeah.
I mean, there's some history right there. I mean, definitely
absolutely.
Backing up what they're saying they're doing.
Yes.
You know, and we also want to mention that they have a website. It's oaklawncemeterywv.com. Oaklawncemeterywv.com. And if you'll go to our sponsors page, there will be a link to their website because they are one of our sponsors. And then probably later on this evening, there'll be another thing that talks about Eric as being one of our guests. And there'll be a link to their website there also. Gene, something I want to just briefly, and since we just have a couple minutes here, I want to briefly talk about something here as a consumer education piece, and I'm going to add this to the website, and this is going to probably open up a lot of questions, and we can talk about this at another point in time, but I want to at least make this aware to families. We have been faced in the last several years with a lot of families telling us that they'll go to some cemeteries, and they will purchase a burial vault. And then the burial vault will be pre-buried before the death occurs. And then it's opened back up at the time of death, and then the burial oftentimes takes place.
So it's already in place.
It's already in place.
Okay.
And sometimes the vault could be compromised with cracking, mud, things like that already in those. We're going to put a consumer education piece on PFTradio.com that talks about this so that we can help families better understand what the questions they need to be asking.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point of this show, is that we're giving people information on all different types of information, all different subject matter, where they can make the best decisions and feel like when they walk away, you know what, I did what was best for our family. I feel comfortable with my decision. The last thing you want somebody to do is to say, you know, I did this because I know it's something I have to do as a final plan, but I just don't feel good about it.
Well, after all, I think it says it all basically in the fact that PFTradio.com, the PFT stands for Planning for Tomorrow.
Planning for Tomorrow, absolutely. But it's basically a consumer education piece, and it talks about a burial vault and why it shouldn't be buried and what you should be asking the cemetery people. So if you've purchased a burial vault, if you're listening to us and you've purchased a burial vault in advance, and that vault has been buried, this may be something you may want to check out. And it's something that the Attorney General's office has been involved in.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely there to help the consumer get these kind of things taken care of. So if I can help in any way, be happy to answer questions for people and tell more information. But this piece, it's a burial vault consumer education piece, will be placed on the PFTradio.com
website.
Okay,
and you're going to put that glossary on your website.
The glossary will be on the website, and we'll have a lot of other information on there also.
Okay, and did you tell me that there'll be a link to Oaklawn Cemetery?
There'll be a link to Oaklawn Cemetery, and another website that they can go to gather information regarding cemetery information is the West Virginia Cemetery Association. That's a good place that they can go. There is some consumer information there, but we'll definitely have a link to Oaklawn Cemetery because I think that'll be good for people to be able to check that cemetery out. Drive through it and try to find that tree that Eric's talking about, the marker.
Yeah, I want to see that tree, absolutely.
Is it far off the beaten path?
It's in our back circle. We have two circles. But if you stay on the, it's right off the road, so if you stay on the road, you'll see it.
Okay.
Wow. Well, Eric Weingart has been our guest today with Oaklawn Cemetery on East Pea Ridge in Huntington. And Eric, I want to give your phone number to the cemetery. It's 304-736-1161. Or you can also visit them at oaklawncemeterywv.com. Really appreciate you being with us today.
Hey, not a problem. It was nice being here.
And, of course, Oaklawn Cemetery is on East Pea Ridge Road.
Yep,
and
East Pea Ridge Road in East Huntington.
Drive by and take a look. So
absolutely.
Good to
take
meet you, Eric.
Take a couple minutes and stop by and talk to me. I love to talk to people. We'll
that'll be great.
Might even buy you lunch. Now, I just threw that in. He's going to shoot me for that.
Now, that's the last time he'll be on the show. Listen. Thank you so much for listening this morning, and of course, the weekend. Keep us tuned right here, and we'll be back with you on Monday.
Bye-bye.
Serving the tri-state and beyond at HuntingtonSuperTalk.com. This is Huntington's Talk Station, SuperTalk 94.1 FM and AM 930, WRVC Huntington.